It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, department stores are looking at falling revenues quarter after quarter. We'll talk to a retail expert about whether that means the department store is dying.
First, after 10 years of work, the new fifth edition of the American Heritage Dictionary is out. And like any modern language, English has seen new words evolve to represent ideas and items that are recent additions to the culture. If you aren't sure what a listicle is, or a humble brag, or what it means to dox someone, you're in luck, because you can now look it up in the new American Heritage Dictionary.
Joining us now to talk about what made it into the new edition is Steve Kleinedler. He's executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. Steve, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Good morning, or rather, good afternoon. It's been a long day. Good afternoon. Thank you for having me on.
Well, how often do you comb through the English language and update the dictionary to match it?
Well, it's an ongoing process, actually. The fifth edition came out in 2011, and we update it twice a year. What the editorial staff does is we work with our consultants. As you mentioned, it's a lot like combing it through. So sometimes, we spent 3 years with three different physics consultants going through every physics term in the dictionary. Each year, the different editors are responsible for different categories, and they work through that area, often in conjunction with consultants, and together we determine what needs to be reviewed, what needs to be revised, and in many cases that requires additions.
So what is your litmus test on what should make the cut and be put in the new dictionary?
Right. It depends on the type of word entirely, how a word would enter the lexicon in the dictionary. So, for example, if they discover a new chemical element, for example, the body that's in charge of naming chemical elements, they get together, vote on it, decide, and on it goes to the periodic table. That kind of word, like sclerovium or livermorium, would go straight in because they said so. Most words, it's not that cut and dried, though. So, for example, some of the food terms that you see there that we've added, 50, 60 years ago, Julia Child popularized French cuisine through her cooking show and her books. And at that time, a lot of French terminology entered the English language. In a similar vein, over the past decade, with the rise of a lot of cable channels dedicated to food and cooking, there's an expansion globally of what Americans are being exposed to, and as a result, a lot of terminology enters the language that way. A good example of that would be bibimbap, which is a Korean rice dish that's served with a raw egg and hot chili paste and vegetables in a hot stone bowl that's so hot it still cooks while it's being served to you. Whereas 15, 20 years ago, that would probably only be found in Korean neighborhoods and Korean restaurants. With the rise of things like cooking shows and whatnot, it becomes more widespread. You now find it outside of Korean neighborhoods, and you get newspapers that discuss food that discuss it without defining what it is. They kind of assume that you know it, and that's another good criterion as to whether or not a word is considered anglicized and part of English or not.
Talking to Steve Kleinedler with the American Heritage Dictionary, meeting some of the new official additions in our lexicon in the English language. The internet, so a lot of people are coining words there all the time. Some catch on and then fizzle out. Some seem to stand the test of time. One of them, one of the new additions, is the word listicle. First of all, what is that?
Well, a listicle is an article that's written in the form of a numbered list. And one reason why this somewhat humorous word has been added is because it's so ubiquitous. There are a good deal of news sites that transmit news information almost exclusively in list form. On one end, you've got websites like BuzzFeed, but even mainstream media are using highly colorful infographics or numbered lists to impart news that's important to know, as well as the trivial fluff like 10 things that some Hollywood star brought to the beach or whatever. So it is a handy, fun word, and it gets a lot of use, and we thought it was time for it to go in.
We're talking to Steve Kleinedler right now, executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. They've just released the fifth edition. We're meeting some of the new editions. And another one of these is one that has now got some credits behind it. It's legit, humble brag. Tell us about that one.
Yes, humble brag. You know, every year we add several hundred new words. A lot of the ones that are fun to talk about are these items that come from the pop culture. A humble brag, of course, is a statement that is seems superficially modest or self-deprecating, but one is uttering it in order to impress other people. For example, you can talk about how the you were late because your private jet was in line to be refueled or something like that, that sort of thing. It's one of those terms that was popularized and caught on, and you again see it being used in a variety of media across the country, and again another good sign that it's for inclusion.
So humble brag might be, oh, I'm disappointed. I only managed to bench press 300 pounds yesterday or something like that.
And I managed to
bench press 0 pounds yesterday. I'll just put that out there. That's an example not from my own life.
Thanks, Rob, because we never would have known.
You would have guessed from the physique.
Pointed that out, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, here's another one from the world of technology and the online internet era, doxing.
Right. This word came, it had existed before, but really came to prominence with the Gamergate issue that had cropped up. To dox someone would be to publicly disclose the identity, address, or other personal details of someone as a form of online harassment. So, back when when people would report on the behaviors and the attitudes of other people on the internet, and those people would then band together and publicly harass them, so much so that they were giving out private information, which then allowed people to contact them directly and harass them some more. That type of activity is called doxing.
So is dox just short for documents, posting documents?
Pretty much, yep. It ultimately comes from the word document, yes.
Well, another thing you do, it isn't just about the new words. Some words get an update, and that leads to my favorite word that changed that I saw. I didn't know it was a word in the first place. ZARF, ZARF. So first of all, what was ZARF? And now with the new update, what is ZARF, Steve?
Yes. ZARF is a old word, comes from the Middle English, ultimately from Arabic, where it meant container. It refers to an ornamental metal holding that one would use around a hot beverage, common in the Middle East. And that very specific sense got generalized and is what one technically calls the little cardboard sleeves that they place around your coffee cups when you get coffee to go. A very ubiquitous item that many people don't realize there is a technical word for.
Right, I was going to say, does anybody besides you, Steve, know that word? I've never heard anyone use the word ZARF.
It's like
the little plastic end on the end of your shoelace also has a name, but very few people know it or use it.
What is it?
It's called an aglet, A-G-L-E-T.
An aglet.
An aglet, yes.
Well, I have encountered ZARFs. There was a Middle Eastern restaurant that served that hot cardamom tea. You and I used to go there. They closed. Mm-hmm. Nobody went there except us. But they served that tea. I realize now, I only now know this, in a ZARF.
Well, maybe, but
if I'd known, I would have called it that.
It wasn't chalice-like, though. It had little strips
close
of metal.
Enough.
I know we're quibbling over Samantha. But...
and I could play this in Scrabble. Does this mean I can play this in Scrabble now, Steve? Or I could have already, a ZARF.
Oh, it has a
you
Z.
You probably could have already, yeah.
It has a Z. That's a great one. Okay,
with friends, yeah.
We should have devoted this whole interview to the ZARF. To ZARF or not to ZARF. Or not.
Yeah. Well, I want to ask, Steve, we got through a few internet words and are not in the non-ZARF portion of our conversation. Is our language changing faster or slower in the era of the internet?
There will always be a new technology that changes language. I mean, during the industrial era in the 1800s, there were words that were new to that came into being. I mean, with every new technology, the space race in the 60s, you're going to find terminology changes. And, even with computer science, a lot of the terminology already exists, like cut, paste, browser, window, that kind of thing. Language just continues chugging on to change, and if it wasn't this this type of technology, it would be some other thing taking its place.
And Steve, before we let you go, do you have your eyes on any words for next year that maybe didn't quite make it this year?
Oh, yes, of course. We're looking at a variety of things. In fact, there were some food words we were just considering adding, and of course, the names of those were completely escaping me. I'm right now in the middle of working on an agriculture review, so I'm looking at a lot of farm-related terms and stuff, and so that's where my mind has been in the last day or two. So, but yeah, it's there's always a large pile of material to sift through. That's for sure.
Well, Steve, thanks, and happy word hunting.
Great. Well, thank you so much. Your listeners can find all of this information, by the way, on our website at ahdictionary.com. That's every single revision is there. And they can also, this can be purchased in any brick-and-mortar online bookstore as well.
That's Steve Kleinadler, executive editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, just released some new updates to their fifth edition.